Okay, it's 30 days, within 30 days of Pesach. The Gemara says within 30 days of the Yom Tov, you're supposed to learn the dinam of the Yom Tov. Shimon Gamliel says 2 weeks, but the halacha is officially the Chacham, the 30 days before Yom Tov, you're supposed to learn the halacha of Yom Tov. So we always start learning the dinam of Pesach, first with the dinam of getting the house ready, kashering kelim, and then into mechiras chametz, bedikas chametz, and the seder, and all those other things. Okay, so as we mentioned, just a general introduction to the whole concept of kashering utensils, why you have to kosher utensils, how do you kosher utensils, which utensils cannot be kashered. So basically, when you understand the concept of something, then the dina makes sense, and then you understand it much better. Let's figure about Pesach for a minute. During the year, okay, this is a clean, brand new pot. Okay? So now I take this pot, and I cook chicken soup in this pot. And then after I'm done, I clean it out spotlessly. But we all know that this pot is a meat pot. It's a fleshic pot. Question, but there is no meat on it. I cleaned it out completely. Why is this a meat pot? So the answer is, heat makes things absorb within the walls of the utensil. Heat makes things go in, and heat makes things go out. So if somebody takes a brand new pot and cooks meat in it, so now, even though it's spotlessly clean, the pot is meat because there's meat absorbed within the walls of the vessel. Now, if I take the same pot on the same day and cook milk in it, so what happens? So the heat makes go in and makes go out, right? Is berleia, it absorbs, and it's pellet, and it spits out. So what happens is, now the meat that's absorbed within the walls of the utensil, are gonna come out. And it's gonna come out into the milk. So now you have in the milk, you're gonna have a taste of meat, and you're gonna have a taste of milk, which is obviously treif, right? Meat and milk together is treif. Not only that, the milk is gonna go into the pot. So now in the absorption of the walls of the pot, you're gonna have meat and milk, and therefore the pot is treif. Okay, that's issue number one, which is a very important concept. So even though you have a spotlessly clean pot, but the fact that it was cooked and heat made it go in, there's an absorption in the walls of the utensil. Okay, that's issue number one. Issue number two is a general introduction which needs to be understood, and this is the Chachamim established that after 24 hours of the absorption, let's say, for instance, Monday morning at 10 o'clock, I cooked chicken soup. Okay? So now it's a meat pot because I cooked chicken soup in it. 24 hours later, the taste becomes blemished. It's what's called nais in tam lebgam. It becomes a blemished taste. What does it mean, a blemished taste? A blemished taste means it's not real meat. It's a blemished meat. It's not the real taste of meat. So therefore, the Chachamim said that what happens if somebody Monday morning at 10 o'clock cooks chicken soup, and by 12 o'clock, the pot is clean, let's say. And the next day, after 12 o'clock, somebody cooked milk in that pot, the milk is going to be kosher, b'di'evet. Meaning you can't just go cook milk in the pot, but the Chacham said, if by mistake somebody cooked milk in a meat pot when the meat pot wasn't used for 24 hours, the milk is kosher. Okay? So if somebody, let's say, took a meat pot, okay, and they made lasagna, cheese lasagna, or whatever, in the pot. So the din is, if it's after 24 hours, from the last time it was used for hot meat, then b'di'evet the food is kosher. The pot is treif. The pot, though, is treif.
How is the food kosher if the pot is
kosher? 1 second. So the food is kosher, because now you have a milchik dish, right, lasagna, And the taste of meat that was absorbed within the pot is a blemish taste. So now the lasagna did not get real meat taste, and therefore the lasagna is kosher. Why is the pot treif? Doesn't sound logical. Because if the lasagna is kosher, but the pot is treif, why should the pot be treif? So the answer is very simple. Technically, you can have one pot. You can have one pot. You could cook meat in it, 24 hours later cook milk, 24 hours later cook meat, 24 hours later cook milk. You can have one pot, technically. That wouldn't be a problem. Might just wait 24 hours. What's the problem with that obvious? You're going to forget where you're up to. Right? You're not going to remember where you're up to. Was it 24 hours? Was it not 24 hours? And then you're talking about mamish treif. So therefore the Chachamim said like this. A pot that even though it's blemished has meat and milk in it, lechatchila, that means to begin with, you cannot use it. A fleshed pot, even though you didn't use it for 24 hours, you're not allowed to cook milk in that pot. If by mistake you did, so the milk's kosher. But lechatchila means to begin with, initially. To cook milk in a meat pot, even if it wasn't used for weeks, you're not allowed to. So therefore, because this pot now has milk absorbed and meat absorbed, so the pot becomes treif, and therefore you have to kosher the pot. Now, this is year-round, by the way. There's a difference, though, and as we'll learn more, I'm just talking general things, and then we'll put everything into place. There's a big difference between Pesach, Chometz and Pesach, and treif and kosher, or milk and meat. Milk and meat, we learned already, become nullified, what's called batel b'shishim. It becomes nullified 1 in 60. If one drop of milk falls into 70 times the amount of meat, but the b'diavad it's batel, it's nullified, and it's kosher. Treif and kosher also becomes nullified 1 in 60. If something a little bit treif goes into something that's a large amount and it's more than 60 times the amount, the food is kosher. Why is the food kosher? Because it becomes nullified 1 in 60. That's the din year-round. Chametz on Pesach and during Pesach. Not before Pesach, that we'll get to it later. Chametz during Pesach is not nullified at all. One drop of chametz can fall into 100 gallons of matzah ball soup. Pesach dika matzah ball soup. Then the din is, the whole thing is treif. Chametzik. Chametz and Pesach is never nullified. Therefore, the dinim of kashering for Pesach, even though it's very similar to year-round kashering of utensils, but Pesach is halachically stricter because during the year, things become nullified 1 in 60. Chametz during Pesach never becomes nullified. Okay, so this is the general concept of why you need. Now, ideally, halacha says you shouldn't kasher utensils. That's what halacha says.
I have a question.
What?
I have a pot. Today I cooked meat. 24 hours later, I put milk.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours later, I put another milk.
Milk or meat?
Yes.
Milk.
Can I do it?
1 minute.
No?
No. Once you cook meat, and you cook even more than 24 hours later, you cook milk, the pot is treif. You can't use it for anything. Not for meat, not for milk.
But you said that the milk is kosher.
But the pot is treif. That's what we explained. The food is kosher, because it's a blemished taste, but you can't use the... Because the pot being not kosher is a blemish, not kosher. No. The blemish taste doesn't, after 24 hours that we said is a blemish taste, does not unkosher the food.
So the concept of benefiting from it doesn't come into play.
Benefiting doesn't apply to it because benefit is only a substantial meat and milk, not absorbed meat and milk. Especially if it's a blemish taste.
So what do you do with
it? No, I said, you can't. It's only after the fact.
Throw it out.
If by mistake, no, you're not allowed to throw it out. If the Torah says it's kosher, there's a very interesting shaila in halacha. If the Torah says meat and milk become nullified 1 in 60, yeah? So let's say you have 1 ounce of milk falls into 70 ounces of chicken soup. So it's nullified 1 in 60, yeah? Hello, got it?
Yeah.
Okay, the food's kosher. Is somebody allowed to come along and say, no, I don't want to eat it? I'm not going to eat it. Torah says, I'm not going to eat it.
No.
So the Dakotshuva brings down, there's two opinions. One opinion says, you're not allowed to not eat it. Because Torah says you could eat it, so you have to eat it. What are you, more frum than the Torah? The Torah says it's kosher. Why are you wasting food? And Dakotshuva brings down, there are other opinions that say, if a person wants to be machmir, they're allowed to be machmir. It's not called bal tashchis. Like this, you're not allowed to throw out food. You can't waste food.
Should you tell your guest if you're serving it tonight?
It's another issue, not for now. It's all other issue. If something is kosher but the other, do you have to tell your guest or not?
Rabbi, when Mashiach comes, none of this applies, all this confusion.
And now at least you want Mashiach to come, huh? It's a good reason. Then Chazi is going to be kosher. So. Just for that you should want Mashiach to come.
No, not just for that.
For other things. The other side benefits. Fringe benefits. Okay, so, what? Yeah, fringe benefits. Okay, anyway. So, by Pesach, because of the strictness and severity of Pesach, it says in Aloch Bechlal, it's best not to kosher things for Pesach. It's best to have everything new, because then you don't have any questions of, you know, the kosher, is it not kosher? Now, that's issue number one. Issue number two in kashering is like this. There are certain types of utensils. The classic example is the Gemara calls kli cheres, earthenware vessels. Earthenware vessels, which include china, ceramic, a lot of things that will go on as we get discussing this more and more, that absorb, but they never spit it out completely. In other words, we should have said this first. So what happens when you kosher your utensil? What happens when you kosher your utensil?
You transform.
No. What you do is, whatever's absorbed in the walls of the utensil comes out. Whatever's absorbed in the walls of the vessel comes out. So now what happens? Now you have like a brand new vessel. Why did the pot become milk or meat? Because it was absorbed within the walls of the utensil. Once you have it spit out, it's a brand new keli. So then the pot you kashered is not meat, it's not milk, it's like brand new halachically. What?
So what about like an oven?
We'll get to ovens, that stuff anyway. Not now, later. I mean, as we go on. Now, certain utensils, the Chacham said, never spit it out completely. It spits out a little bit, but not completely. Like earthenware utensils, the Gemara says, and yet midaydefner la'elam, it never comes out completely. You can kasher it 10 times, not all of it comes out. And therefore, there's certain utensils that cannot be kashered. Why can they not be kashered? Because you can't get all the absorption out. You can't get rid of it. So therefore, the utensils are not able to be kashered. So a lot of utensils that people would like to use during Pesach cannot be kashered. It has to be something that it absorbs and it spits out. In fact, before Purim, we're about to get to these dims. It's an interesting thing. Why are your teeth not a problem in milchiks and fleishiks? We just mentioned this last thing. You have teeth, yeah? You eat hot milchiks. And you eat hot fleishiks. Why aren't your teeth treif? You had a hot coffee, that's milchik, so now you, or hot lasagna, and now your teeth absorb milk, and then you later, the next day you're gonna have, or the same day you're gonna have meat. Hot meat. So why aren't your teeth treif? So the answer is in halacha, that the teeth are made of material that don't absorb. That don't absorb. Well, you do have a shaila, by the way, and I want you to know the world is makel, the world is lenient, so don't go crazy about this. If you have fillings in your teeth, or braces, But I'm saying, you forget the braces. I'm saying everybody has fillings in their teeth. Fillings now are basically silver, right? Whatever they call it. It's silver. So now the question is, forget the teeth. The teeth don't absorb. But lapel, you ate the hot steak, so now you have filling in your teeth. And that filling absorbed hot meat. And then you're going to have a hot coffee 6 hours later that's going to have milk in it. Why isn't that a problem of treif? Well, there's a lot of reasons, and the bottom line is, it's not a problem. The problem, the halach is, it's not a...
Rebbe said that some people are machmir at 25.
But by the fillings. It's interesting, the Lubavitcher Rebbeim never had fillings. That's why the Rebbe never, you look all the pictures, the Rebbe didn't have teeth at the end, for many years. But the Rebbeim was a thing, they never put fillings in their teeth. Kemul nisht. And the previous Rebbe had different, you know, then they used to make sets of teeth. So yes, they have for Pesach, and for Chometz, and for Milchiks, and Fleishiks. No, but they were very, but the regular teeth and fillings, most of the Poskim say you can be Mekel, because they say what you really take is not that hot. If you can drink it, it can't be that hot, and whatever it is, the various different reasons why they could be lenient. What?
If you wait six hours, why would that be a problem anyway?
Because no, if everything you have to wait 24 hours until it becomes blemished. After 6 hours, it doesn't become blemished. There's an absorption in the inside the filling. What?
Okay. If since we know the reason for the reason that we wouldn't use the pot because it absorbs the taste. So if there was no issue of it absorbing the taste.
Yeah, but there always is.
Okay, if somebody came out with a line of cookware that was laboratory tested to not give out taste after it's cleaned.
We'll talk about that. There's something called glass. What?
That's not a question. It's only a statement. When I was 8 years old, we didn't have double dishes. We didn't have enough money to buy another dishes. So we were making a fire. Magilim it, kelim, the old